entrepreneurship or life in general is such a intense roller coaster ride that every time the thing goes up, we think we're flying. Every time it goes down, we think we're dying.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
So what are we talking about today, Heaton?
Today we're talking about quitting. And
Wait. Are we quitting this podcast? Can we not handle all the feedback we're getting? You should see Heaton's facial expression right now.
They'll find out at the end.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Anyways, so I think starting and quitting are related. The reason I specifically wanted to think about this topic is I was thinking about one of the things that has challenged me, as well as something that I see repeatedly challenge a lot of other people, which is just when to quit.
Yeah.
And it could be when to quit anything.
Yeah.
We can talk about it from whatever experiences we have, but like to me, it's like I think there is actually a way to think about when to quit. So I'm going to lay out one of my – this is when I really don't know if I should quit, but okay. I'm pretty sure I should.
Okay, so let's do this because I
go
also
ahead. Yeah.
Because of my extensive experience in pivoting, right?
Is that a word anymore?
I don't know.
Oh,
changing my mind.
Quitting.
Quitting on one idea while being committed to keep doing something with the same team.
Okay, what do you got?
So, but I also I wanted to say is that I also have a lot of people ask me when to pivot or change what they're doing, and I have a framework that I use.
Yeah, good.
You have a framework, so let's just both share our frameworks and then we'll examine them.
You first.
Fuck you. I knew you would say that because I took the mic away.
Well, you took the mic away. It's your turn.
All right. So I'll go first. So a lot of times people ask me, how do I know or how do we know that it's the right time to change what we're doing in the sense of fundamentally changing the idea, the business, the market you're in, the name you have, like some big change in the business, what a lot of hipster people call pivoting, right? And I have an extensive history in this in the sense that with this very business, with Close.io, we started as SwipeQuit, which was a micro donation platform that rounded up your purchases automatically to the nearest dollar and gave it to a favorite charity, to then being an outsourced sales consultancy and services business, Elastic Sales, to then being Close.io, which is an inside sales software tool, right? So these are kind of three pretty significant pivots in one business with the same team, same corporate structure and everything. So because of that and a bunch of other things I did in the past, a lot of people ask me, when do we know what the right time is to change what we're doing or not, or to stop doing what we're doing or not? And I've struggled with this for most of my entrepreneurial career because I love with a passion the rocky story of success. Like you get beat in the fucking face and you fall down, you're beat and you fall down. At the third act of the story, you rise to the top and you become the hero.
So when you see Steli next, punch him in the face.
Fuck yeah, I can take it. No, but like my model of success is very much influenced by 80s action movies.
And same with mine, fair enough.
And it's a lot of like the hero has to suffer an insane amount. And then he comes out as like this big, like he goes through the transformation through that suffering and becomes the hero at the end. I love that. That's very ingrained in my mind. So I myself.
So when, that makes it hard to quit.
It makes it insanely hard to quit because when things are hard, my mental processes, I'm just going to have to.
I'm just going to get through it.
I'm going to get through it. I just have to work harder, push harder to get through it.
So how do you get past that? If it is the right time to quit.
So
what's your framework?
Here's my framework. So, and I always say that I've learned to find the door with my eyes rather than trying to get through the wall with my head, right? So, yeah, it took a minute to compute.
There's a lot of ways.
You could jump on the wall.
You can find a way around it. You could get a fucking hammer.
Fair enough.
And smash it down.
Framework.
Okay.
Framework. All right. So what's my framework? Here's my framework. And this is something I've learned with my first business, Super Cool School, that I came to the US with 8 years ago, because for 5 years, this business was a zombie startup. It was dead. And I was carrying around the skeleton with me, pretending it's still alive. So here's my framework. As a startup and as an entrepreneur, you rely on one thing and one thing only, and that's your internal resourcefulness, your morale, your internal energy and passion. So nobody believes in what they do 100% of the time. Well, not nobody, but most people don't believe 100% of the time in everything they do, right?
I don't think you can ever believe in anything 100%.
100%, right? Anyway, so you always have some doubt. But here's my framework. As long as during your day, the majority of the time, 60% of the time, let's say, you are completely believing in yourself and your idea and what you're trying to accomplish, and then the minority of the time you have doubts, you have moments of doubts, keep doing what you're doing. I don't care how successful or unsuccessful you are. As long as you're passionately and with all your being believing in it most of the day, keep doing what you're doing. I mean, try to improve and change the tactics and the strategies and try to learn from your mistakes, but keep working on it. But the moment that ratio changes, the moment that the slight majority of your day you are actually in doubt and you are feeling down and you feel burned out and you feel like a lack of energy, and then you just have moments in the day where you're passionate, moments in the day that you believe, that's the time where the pendulum has swung the other way and you need to quit. Like, you need to fucking stop. Because if you don't have that passionate energy and belief, you'll never gonna make it. So now all you're doing is you're postponing the inevitable, which is killing that thing and doing something else. That's my framework.
All right. So mine's completely opposite.
Of course.
Just kidding. It's actually very similar. So I'm going to talk about quitting not from a pivoting standpoint, but more from a standpoint of, like, personally, when do you just decide? And the thing that I found most valuable, and this is the caveat I'll give, is this will only work if you're what I would call a lover.
Okay.
Because not everyone's a lover.
All right, my man.
And
tell
so,
us more, Heaton.
And what I mean by that is just, like, you know, if you're the type that Steli's talking about where you get into something and then you just love it and that's what you do. And then you know that most of the day you love, regardless of how hard it is. And I'm doing that in quotes. Then I think the simple way I look at it is I look at all the things I'm doing and I think about it as, do I love it? And if I don't, then I have to do something about it. An action. So okay. I can change the way I think about it. I can stop doing it or I can literally change it. But it's, so my line is love it or change it.
Okay.
And that's it. And I just go through my life, do an inventory of the things that I'm doing or the things that I'm working on or the people around me. And it's either I love it or I change it.
When was the last time where you changed, where you had that love it or change it kind of process and it came out with, like, you need to change it?
Yeah. So I think this is, and a lot of times this stuff goes on for a while. Mm-hmm. So most recently, probably the hardest thing I've done is actually completely get off my responsibilities from a company I started.
Yep.
So at Kissmetrics earlier this year, I decided to stop working on the company. There was already somebody else running it. And like a few weeks ago, for a number of reasons that are not worth bringing up, I decided to get off the board as well.
Yep.
So I'm still a founder in the company. I still have a whole bunch of shares in the company. I want them to succeed. But at the end of the day, my responsibilities of that business are zero at this point because I'm not on the board and I didn't do that. And I think there came a point that probably happened easily a year before that where I started to just not love it. And there's a whole bunch of reasons. The main one being, like, for a number of reasons, there had been two people running the company. Then I came in during a switch from one person to another person, another CEO, and we did a CEO search and I was in there for 6 months. I actually had a lot of fun during those 6 months, but I was probably already starting not to love it because the company was a different size. It's been around for a while and it was something where the kind of changes that I would have to make to do kind of what I wanted to do with the company would be putting all my attention on it and be dedicated to it. And I had already sort of moved on in a lot of ways. So I think that was a really hard thing for me, but it was easy because easy in the sense of easy to figure out because I just thought about it as, do I love this? Do I truly love going to these board meetings? Do I truly love actually working on this product or working with these people or working in this market? And a lot of those things came back as a no. And so I had to change it eventually.
All right. Good shit. So, all right. So now I could see somebody hearing us and going, well, but what about, I heard this story of, you know, insert whatever fucking founder myth or founder amazing story, like the Airbnb guys, right? The prototype cockroaches to Paul Graham's way of, like, describing that type of person in entrepreneurship that try to sell, like, fucking cereal during the elections to make ends meet and, like, just wouldn't fucking die. Like, that was their recipe to ultimate success. Like, there's so many of these stories out there and somebody goes, well, I'm sure they didn't fucking love it every day, like, being almost bankrupt, and they didn't love it, like being rejected so many times. They didn't love all that. And also maybe from my framework, who says that they didn't at some point cross that percentage of like doubting themselves more than they believed in it? Just maybe the last few steps before the tides turn and they were able to get success. Because another fucking thing that I say is that the universe will always test your resolve. The first time you go, it always will like push you back and nudge you a little bit to see if you really want it. So, and this is why this is such an interesting topic to discuss, because it's, right, it's not black and white. It's not as easy. And people have a hard time deciding, am I quitting because I'm a quitter? Am I quitting because it's the right time to quit and it's time to start something else and invest my energy in something else? So how do we, if there's somebody out there that's listening, that's currently in that situation and they're not sure how, like, they're not sure if they should just hang on for a little longer, or if now really is the time to quit. Like, what do we tell that person after hearing about our frameworks?
So I think, first of all, it's not fair to take someone else's story and try to make it yours.
Oh.
And I think that's what people do, yep. Like in that Airbnb example.
Yeah.
I can tell you 100 reasons why they should have stopped, maybe more. And I can tell you 100 reasons why they should have kept going like they did. But you know what? It doesn't matter. And so the reason it doesn't matter is, one, I was there when they were selling cereal. I don't know them very well, but I watched them try to sell cereal.
Yeah.
They did a damn good job. They had a good name and everything. It was Obama O's and stuff like that. It was very smart.
Captain McCain.
Yeah, very smart. Yeah. Right? So I believe they had an irrational desire to make that business work, and they had a belief that it would work, and they never wavered on that. And it still could have ended with the business going out of business and them working on something else.
Yeah,
regardless.
And all the people,
right?
That are,
yeah,
like that, we just don't know about,
yeah,
them.
Yeah, we just don't know.
Because nobody reads about them.
So I think it's bullshit to try to think about these people and try to make it your story. What I would focus on is, what's your current situation? And does it make sense to keep going? Despite how much you might love it or think,
yeah,
you love it.
Yeah.
Right? And so a good hack for that would be, start asking people around you. Am I my best right now?
Ooh. That's a scary question to ask.
Who cares?
Yeah, I love it. I'm just saying
that. Am I my best right now?
Because
if you're not your best, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
You're going to die soon.
Oh. Well, all right. So that's awesome. I love that. Am I at my best right now? Do you feel like I'm killing it right now? Do you feel like I'm happy? Do you feel like I'm happy right now? Right? Ask that to friends, colleagues, people you work with, your investors, your whatever, like your mom,
yeah,
and see what they say. It might be very educational and enlightening at the same time. I think the other thing to understand is that at the end of the day, like, again, I feel like entrepreneurship or life in general is such a intense roller coaster ride that every time the thing goes up, we think we're flying. Every time it goes down, we think we're dying. And we at some point forget that it's just a fucking roller coaster, right? So no matter how important something is, no matter how much you think you're changing the world, all that is beautiful and it's magical, but it's not the beginning or the end of the world. So I think sometimes if we're able to just detach ourselves a little bit, you still want to have like closeness. You still want to be intimate with what you're doing, but you don't want to be completely attached to the degree where there's no separation. And I know there's all these examples of people that were so obsessed and so attached that that's why they generated this brilliance that have changed the world and made it a better place. I just don't, if you're that person, you're not listening to this podcast probably, and you wouldn't even care whatever the fuck we're saying. I'm not that type of person. I always wanted to be that type of person. Who doesn't want to be Steve Jobs? Like, at least for a few days. If you're an entrepreneur, you had the phase where you're like, I kind of want to be that like crazy obsessive genius that is changing the world. I had that Steve Jobs complex for a few years and try to not dress like him, but like be that type of founder. But at the end of the day, I'm not. I'm just not, right? I am crazy in a different way, but I'm just not that type of crazy. So I love, and this is something consistently that you do and that I admire about you. No matter when I see people ask for advice from Heath, no matter when I discuss things with him, I love that you always take a step back and you go, wait. Who are you and what is your story and what do you need? Not what would I do in your case or what does somebody else say? Like, let's talk about you. You as an individual have your own unique story and you can learn from others, be inspired, but don't try to be like others and don't try to take what they did and apply it to your situation today, because chances are in most cases, they're totally different situations and circumstances. So I love that. I think that's super important for people to know. And also it's important, I think, for people to know that there's a life after all this shit. Like, I thought with my first startup that I came, that I worked for 5 years on, although it was dead, and I had lost my passion, my energy, but I just could not accept failure and defeat. It felt like such a monumentous thing. I thought that when I had that idea, I thought it was the reason I existed, the reason why I was on this planet, right? So it's hard to let go of that. It was hard for me to let go of that. But, you know,
Wait, hang on.
Yes.
You said something and I didn't like it.
Ooh, wait, what?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not wrong about that?
I could be wrong.
All right, so let's explore it.
You said, you know, what did you just say? You said it's what you believed you should be doing. It became your life. You said something like that, didn't you?
Just now? Yeah. I said that when I first had the idea, I thought that was the reason I was on this planet. Yes.
You are on this planet to live your life.
Yes.
You're not on this planet to do some startup. You're not on this planet to go serve some set of customers. You're on this planet to make an impact. Absolutely. I can't disagree with that. But how you do that? How are you going to get stuck on that? I mean, the way cycles work right now, you might not be in business a year from now.
Right.
Even you. Even me. I don't know, right? And so I think I just wanted to hit on that. I think it's a fallacy to believe that you were born to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't think it works like that.
And today, I completely agree with you. But back then, because I was buying into the I need to be Time Magazine person of the year, a person to change everybody's life, a name that everyone on the planet knows, I was like, oh, this idea is the reason why I exist.
But that's not how you get to be that person on the top of a magazine, right? No, like, you don't aim to be the person in the magazine. You just happen to be in the right place at the right time, usually.
To a large degree, that's the way not to get on the fucking magazine. Right. Is when that's what drives you at the end of the day.
So I think this belief that you had is what prevents people from quitting. This belief that they were born to do what they're doing. Or this sort of possessive hold on their startup. I don't like calling my startup or my company my baby.
Yeah.
I have two babies.
You have two babies. You have real babies.
Those are my babies.
Yeah.
The startup, sorry, not my baby.
All right.
I had to learn that the hard way.
No. All right. Yeah. So I do have two babies too, right? Not even my babies are my babies. So, and this is something I wasn't sure I would still feel that way. Like, you know, you have some certain ideas before you have children, and some of you might still not have children, and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this once I have children. This is something that I was surprised about. Because I'm pretty obsessive and I love children, I thought I'm going to be a pretty, like, obsessive daddy, and I'm going to take ownership of them, which is what a lot of parents do, right? The funniest thing, the thing I'm weirdly proud of is that I love my children to death. I'd do anything for them. But I don't feel ownership over them. It's a funny, I thought I might, but I don't. I don't feel like they are mine. I feel like they're their own people.
That's true.
They're their own little spirits, their own little beings. And I have the honor and pleasure to share part of their life with them, to influence them, to help them, and to take joy and pride in that. But they're not mine. I don't own them.
So tell me how you think about the startup then, at this point, in relation to that.
Oh, the exact fucking way. I mean, this is something I'm working on. This is something I have pride in. At this point, I'm not the only parent. There's like other parents. There's not just the parents that are raising this startup. There's a little village that we're building, a team. Everybody has influence over how we're raising this child, but it's not mine. And one of the greatest things would be if I die tomorrow, if this business keeps growing and my family keeps flourishing, that's dope. That means I did a lot of things right. Right. So by that, it can't be that it's mine, because it would diminish greatly by me disappearing from this planet. So today I do believe that you want to be invested in things, but I don't want to be attached to things, because I think attachment leads to fear, leads to stress, leads to bad decision. I don't see, if stress was helpful, I'd be all for it. If attachment was helpful, I would teach people to do it, but I think that it usually always turns you less productive and making worse decisions. So I don't think it's a good thing.
What's your tip?
I don't fucking know. You do the tip first.
I do the tip first?
Yes.
If you're thinking about quitting, just quit. It's the easiest thing to do.
You just stole my fucking tip. Fuck you, dude. I always teach, when you think about firing somebody, that's the time to fire. That's the same. It's so true. When you're thinking about quitting, it's probably time to quit. All right. Fuck. I should have not given you the first spot.
I gave you the opportunity.
But yeah, you did. Bad decision making. All right. So here's my tip. My tip is that if you have too hard of a time to quit and to accept defeat and proclaim and declare defeat to the world, and I know sometimes it's just too hard to do, here's a hack for you. Just take a vacation from it. Just tell everybody, tell your team, tell yourself, tell your mother and your father, tell your friends, you know what? We're in such a hard spot that we decide the best thing we can do is we're going to take a 3-month vacation, and in 3 months we're going to come back and see how to continue with this business.
So I think 3 months is a long time. I'd say 3 days, whatever. 2 weeks, whatever.
It doesn't fucking matter.
If you're not ready to quit, take a vacation. I like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, it doesn't matter because the like a week after you took quote unquote the vacation, everybody knows we're never coming fucking back from this, right? We're never going back to this place. But it's just an announcement that's softer than we're quitting. It's something that I did, fair. So I think it's a great framework for people that can't say I'm quitting.
Fair point.
All right, that's it from us. We'll hear you guys next week.
See ya.
Did you pick one of the two action items from Stelly and Heaton already? Do that now and snap into action. It's time to grow your business.